Let us pray. Holy God, you have given us your word. You've also given us people who are able to take your word and put it into verse, and others who put it to music. And we're grateful, Lord, for all of for your word and all of those who have made and created our hymns, that we might be touched by your Spirit. Help us to hear the truth that you have for us in them. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. It's obvious. The buzzword for the 4th of July, and for that matter, any American patriotic holiday, is liberty or freedom. We celebrate every 4th of July that document that declared our freedom from England, the Declaration of Independence, which you can find some of the early sentences on in the book cover of the bulletin. And today I want to take a look at the idea of freedom from the standpoint of six hymns and songs that speak about freedom from different viewpoints. Of course, our patriotic songs speak strongly about the God-ordained freedom we achieved in this country. The hymn, generally known as America, or more specifically, My Country 'Tis of Thee, was written in 1831 by Samuel Francis Smith. Might be interested to know, Smith wrote it while he was a student at Andover Theological Seminary. He was a ministerial student. The tune, of course, came from England, who we declared our independence from, because the tune is the tune for God Save the King or Queen. In 1789, Hail Columbia was written for the first inauguration of President George Washington. And after America was written, those two, Hail Columbia and America, kind of vied unofficially with each other as the national anthem of our country until 1931, when the Star Spangled Banner was declared to be the official national anthem for our country. Now, the hymn America states right in the beginning, this is a land of freedom. And it also states the cost of that freedom, land where our fathers died. In verse 4, it is emphatic that freedom is a God-ordained right, which correlates with the words of the Declaration of Independence, which are on the bulletin cover. Now, what's interesting is that this hymn to America also became a protest song against America. In the rise to the Civil War, abolitionists, especially A.G. Duncan in 1843, made up verses. A.G. Duncan wrote six verses as a protest against slavery in this country to the tune of America. My country 'tis of thee, stronghold of slavery of thee I sing, land where my fathers died, where men man's rights derive, from every mountainside thy deeds shall ring. The second verse, my native country thee, where all men are born free, if white's their skin. I love thy hills and dales, thy mounts and pleasant vales, but hate the negro sails as foul a sin. And there's four more. I find that very interesting that they would use a song that celebrates the freedom of this country to deride slavery, but also it's only been 12 years since America, that the song America was written before the abolitionists wrote these verses. So in 12 years, that's how big this song had become in the life of America. So let us sing verses 1, 2, and 4. 1, 2, and 4 of hymn number 561. Let us stand. Stand for all of them. But freedom is not a new phenomenon, or even an 18th century phenomenon. The yearning to be free has been in the hearts and minds of people since the very beginning of humanity. The book of Exodus in our Bible is about slavery and freedom. The freedom of the ancient Israelites when they were called out of Egypt. And this story was appropriated by the black slaves of the 19th century in our country in their cry for freedom. The African-American spiritual Go Down Moses first appeared in songbooks in 1872. John Lovell Jr. writes in his book, Black Song, written in 1972, Go Down Moses does not employ the undercurrent symbolism of Steal Away to Jesus and other such poems. Only a very obtuse listener can miss its point. It says flatly that Moses, and I would say God, freed these Egyptian slaves boldly and justly because slavery is wrong. Let us stay seated and sing hymn number 334, all the verses. Go Down Moses.
Yeah.
forward now to the 20th century. And blacks are protesting their civil rights, or lack of, I should say, which in many ways was considered, rightfully so, a lack of freedom. They were not free to pursue the rights that they have from God as they understood it, and many others along with them, those of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And out of this great discontent came what many declare to be the ultimate protest and freedom song of the 20th century, "We Shall Overcome." The origin of the song is in dispute. Some say Pete Seeger created it, and others say somebody else did. But there can be no dispute over the power it had to create peaceful protest and eventually bring about the great civil rights law of 1964. Once again, it tied freedom to the rights granted by God and that God would lead them to freedom. As we sing this, I'm going to encourage you to stand for this one and to join hands with your neighbors, as we saw them do as they were marching the streets of Selma and other places, singing this song, "We Shall Overcome." Freedom is a powerful force. Ask any dictator, what do you fear the most? And most certainly they will say they fear when people get the idea that they can be free. In many ways, that's what we saw in the Arab Spring, when as dictators were overthrown. This was true also in South Africa during apartheid, which, by the way, is where "We Are Marching in the Light of God" came from. The people began to believe, the black people began to believe that they could be free. They had the voices of people like Reverend Desmond Tutu, Nelson Mandela, and Stephen Biko, a black activist who was brutally murdered by the police. And out of that national and international protest came the protest song, "Oh Freedom." This driving, upbeat song speaks of not being a slave, and that it may not come for the singer in his or her lifetime, but freedom would surely come in God's kingdom. And again, this is Harry Belafonte, and what he says, y'all join in. Let's join in. And let's snap our fingers, clap our hands, whatever you feel.
Before I be a slave, I'd be buried in a mine.
Desire to be free welling up within them. But the truth of the matter is, as I kind of alluded to in my children's talk, many have the wrong idea of freedom. For many, freedom is to be able to do what you want to be able to, what you want to do. As individuals, as a nation. In his letter to Galatia, emphatically makes this point. Freedom does not give us the freedom for self-indulgence, because then we fall back into slavery to sin. Our next hymn may not seem like a hymn of freedom, but it is. It states in the first line, "Make me a captive, Lord, and then I shall be free." It's a paradoxical hymn of freedom. We become free when, like Paul says, we become slaves to one another. This hymn was written by Scottish clergyman, Reverend George Matheson, in 1890. Now, Matheson understood paradox. By the age of 20, he was blind. And yet he was became one of the most well-known and respected ministers in all of Scotland in his time, was also well-known to Queen Victoria of England. So because his life was such a paradox, he was able to understand the paradoxical nature of freedom. We are free only as much as we give others their right to freedom. Let us stay seated and sing hymn number 378, verses 1, 2, and 4. 1, 2, and 4. Shirley Arena Murray. She's a prolific hymn writer, I should say is, not was, I believe she's still living, from New Zealand. Has written a beautiful hymn that for me captures the essence of freedom. We are all free when we recognize our connection with and in Jesus Christ. Now she's using in this hymn the story of Jesus in the Gospels where he's standing and teaching in a house, his disciples and others, and somebody says to him, your mother and your brothers are outside. They want to talk to you. And he points to the disciples and the people around him. He said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God is his mother, brother, and sister. However, as I read the words of the hymn, I also get the sense that in Jesus we all are blessed, whether people know it or not. We claim each other. We are bound by one vision. And that vision is found in the words of Jesus when he stood in the temple and he said, to let the captive, or to proclaim release to the captives. That was the mission and the ministry of Christ. And so when we see all people within, around Jesus Christ, we are more apt then to let them have their freedom as well. Number 22-25, who is my mother, verses 1, 3, and 4. Scripture and hymns are clear. We are all only free if we recognize that all people deserve life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. As a people, as a nation, we need to keep this vision of freedom in mind. It's not a vision of having our way with other people or nations, but living in peace and harmony to the best that we are able. This is a way of life that respects the rights, the unalienable rights of all people. Amen.